It's really good to be with you here, opening the Word of God tonight. So every time I'm going to preach about this psalm here in the States, I always start just making something that I really like a lot from the U.S. Something that I really like is every time I go to a restaurant, I always order a Coke. So and then I just go and they will come, what do you want to drink? And then I will go and I will say, I want a Coke. So then they will come with that Coke. And I just go really fast and I drink it. And then you just only do like this or you just put it there. And as soon like this, the person just come again and said, do you want another one? And I just go and say, yes. Because Coke is something that we don't have in Cuba. Or if we can get it, it's really expensive. So in Cuba, if we want to drink a Coke, you need to pay for the first one. You need to pay for the second one. You need to pay for the third one. And then I just go and I say, do you imagine for me to drink three Cokes just paying for one? So then I would just go and have the second Coke. And then I just go like, now is the third one coming. So the person just come really fast and get the glass again and bring a third one. I'm really happy. Oh, I never can do that. I never can do this in Cuba. So that's a really common way for us to sometimes ask for things. So I was just some minutes ago saying, which is the way for me to drink some water? And here is Mark. He went with two bottles. So it's like, you know, this person is always giving you one or two or three things at a time. It's like, this is crazy. It's really good. I never get this kind of things in Cuba. So sometimes when we think about this psalm, and then you can be saying, what is this related with this psalm? Well, the good thing how all of this is related is that sometimes we try to approach God on the same way that we ask for a Coke. So sometimes it's just we try to pray or we try to go in front of God on the same way that we go and ask for a Coke. And for us in Cuba, every time we are going to pray and people, we have a saying in Cuba like people go to God or pray really fast when they are in trouble. So for us, it's like we want to go to pray to God because we have a need. And then next thing that we want is God just coming really fast, get the problem and solve it. And we see that with a Coke. You just only need to pay for a Coke and then they will continue refilling your Coke one time, second, third time. And sometimes we just want God to be working on the same way. And for us, it's sometimes really complicated to wait on God's response in the middle of all our needs. So, and the good part for this psalm, we divided it in six parts, is that David start this psalm telling us something about God. Every time we're going to be every time in Cuba that we deal with regulative principle and everything like that, the best way to talk and the best way to deal with this is that everything start in God. And sometimes people just want to start everything in us. So I'm going to pray because I have a necessity. I'm going to ask God for help because I am the one who needs something. I'm going to talk to God because I am the one. And we are always trying to put ourselves in first place and not God on the first place. And David is teaching us something really good here on this psalm. Because he starts, hear my prayer, O Lord. So it's like, I'm going to tell you something, just pay attention. Then he continues, give ear to my supplication. And then he starts talking about God's, I forgot the word, attributes. Thank you. So here David just starts telling us about some attributes that God has, and he's going to teach us something out of this. He's going to tell us, like, we need to go to God because he's the one who is faithful, and he's the one who is righteous. So every time we're going or we think of going to God, we cannot just go to God because things that we need or because who we are, everything depends on who are we going to be praying. As Pastor Doug was saying before, in Cuba, everybody was at some point Catholic, or they were going into spiritism and everything like that. And every time that people just tried to go in front of those saints and everything, they just go and they try to approach them in a way that, I'm going to tell you something, I need your help. But the help is conditioned by everything that I have been doing for you. So when these people just go to some idols, they just go and they say, I have been putting you this much of rum, or I have been giving you this much of money, or I have been just doing this much of things, or I have been just going, in Cuba we have in Holguín, a big mountain that you can claim is like 500 steps. And people just go there and they are trying to walk everything of that on their knees or just carrying something on the back just to try to gain everything out of the idols for them to solve all the problems. They have a sickness on a kid and they just go, and because then they can come and say, now my kid needs to be saved or needs to be healed because I have been doing all of this effort. But what David is just teaching us here is that we're not coming to God on the same way that people go to idols or to any other source. We need to go to God because He is faithful and He is righteous. And when we start thinking, why David just tell us or start telling us about this? Well, because everything after that is going to depend on who are we praying, who are we approaching, or who are we just praying. Because sometimes we try to put God in a position that He's just equal to man, or just sometimes worse than man. Because sometimes people just respect some other people, but people don't respect God. So David is just start all of this talking about God's attributes. And in our life, we need to start knowing who is God. And everything in our life depends on that. The kind of God that you think you have, that is going to tell you how your life is going to be managed in everything. How you're going to walk, how you're going to worship, how you're going to do everything. Everything in your life depends on how do you know, or how much do you know about your God. So David just go here and say, he's faithful and he's righteous. That's the God that David is just going and praying and approaching to him. David know all of this better than us, because David have been going into many, many things all over his life. He has been persecuted. He has been going into a lot of difficult times. He has been going into sin and kids and everything of that. So he's a person who knows what is to be losing things, what is to be persecuted and everything of that. But he's not going like, well, God, I have been serving you as king for this long. I have not been doing this for this long. I have not been this or that. He's not putting him on the center of the target, but he's just putting God over everything. And that's why he start this psalm in this way. He's giving us, first of all, who God is. And that's the first thing that we need always to realize every time we're going to pray or every time we're going to approach God. We need just to, first of all, know who are we just going in prayer. Who are we talking with? And then on the second point, on the second verse, he goes and says, do not enter into judgment with your servant. We cannot just go and try to do those kind of business with God. If you give me this, I'm going to do this. If you just do this to my life, then I'm going to do this. And many people just go like that. And we cannot just do it. God is the only one who is holy. God is the only one who has all power over everything. We cannot just go and stand in front of Him. If we just stand in front of God, we can be just fire, or, you know, get away out of here. I don't know who you are. So David is just putting us in a position knowing that at the time that we come in front of God, we're coming in front of a holy God, not in front of a person equal to us. In your sight, no one living is righteous. He's just saying, and he start telling us everything about God. And every time, this is the number one in our life. We need to know who we are talking with, who we are dealing with, and that person is God. That person, and he just tell us something here, two attributes, faithfulness, righteousness. He is faithful, he is righteous. Then he goes and in verse 3 and 4, he just go and tell us the necessity that he has. He's now going to tell us everything that he's facing. And in our prayers, we need to know to do the same kind of thing. If we just go and read the way that God has been, well, the way that Jesus was teaching his disciples, at the time that you go and preach and pray, just go like this. And then you can see like the same pattern at the time that Jesus was teaching his disciples to pray. Here is the same kind of thing. So then he goes and say now about talking about his necessity. For the enemy has persecuted my soul. Which one of us don't know what is that? All of us have been persecuted in our soul. Many of us have not been having a problem with the police, probably. None of us probably have been in jail, so we don't know what is that. But it's not just that. He's saying, persecuted my soul. Many of us have been many days without the desire of just reading the Bible. And then after that, we are just like without any protection. And we are like, we're alone in this world. And he continues talking about his necessity. He has crushed my life to the ground. He has made me dwell in darkness. In Cuba, one of the biggest thing was when here in the States, some policeman just killed a person and, oh, that in Cuba was terrible. In Cuba, they were just talking about, look how bad the U.S. is and this and that and everything. Because what? Oh, because the police just took the person, put it down and did something to the person and killed the guy. So that position and putting someone on the ground and just making everything of that for us has a big, in Cuba at the time that they were putting everything of that on the news, for us that has a lot of meaning. David is saying, my soul was something like that. And part of what I really like from this Psalm 143 is in the way that David used the special revelation with the general revelation. So David is going always using here like the word of God, and he's going to refer always to something on the nature that we know. So he goes and tell us everything like, imagine what is our soul to be persecuted. Nobody knows what is that. Then he goes and say, it's like putting a person into the ground. Then we know what is that. So David here is going and putting the two things together. General revelation, that's for us, putting us into the ground, and he's going and telling us about the special revelation, persecuting my soul. I don't know what is to be persecuted in my soul, because I don't see it. But I know what is to put me on the ground. On when you see two kids just fighting and then just go like that into the ground, then you know what is that. So here David is saying, look how difficult is my time. This is my situation. Therefore, my spirit is overwhelmed within me. My heart within me is distressed. Many of us have been going into that many times. Many of us have been just having big problems, bad days. And David is just describing the way that he has been feeling, everything that he is having inside, and why he is just going to God. But first of all, he referred us which God he was going to pray or which one he was presenting his problem. Then on the next two verses, 5 and 6, he's going to talk about the communion he wants to have with God. So he started referring, this is the God I'm praying to. This is my necessity. And now he's going to say, well, I need to have communion with this God that I have been just stating on verse 1 and 2. So he goes and say on verses 5 and 6, I remember the days of old. I meditate on your works. For many of us in the Bible have been always talking about to meditate on God's works. He has been doing for us many things. He has been just doing good for our families. We can see that all over the creation. God has been just providing for us. We have been looking how God has been giving us all the strength to continue living on this earth. And it's really good for us to remember everything. And David is just quoting here to go and see everything that God has been doing to all the Israelites and to all the people there. How God has been just been faithful and righteous to all of these people who has been just doing everything wrong. But God has been always continue providing for them. So he said, I need to remember everything of this because I know the God that I'm praying to. I'm just going and presenting everything of this to a God who is a God of grace. Even all of these people have been doing everything wrong. Even all of these people have been doing everything bad. God continue having a relationship, a covenantal relation with all of them. So David start telling us who is God, then the necessity that he has. And then now he said, we need to know that he can answer us everything of this just because of who God is and not because who we are. And he started giving us everything of that. Remember everything that God has been doing for you. Remember everything that God has been doing for his people. Remember everything. You are not alone in this world. And that's a reality for you today, for us today in Cuba, and a big one for us. At the time that we just come here and tell you everything that we are going and suffering in Cuba. So I come here, I tell you, please pray for us. But at the same time, when I tell you, pray for us in Cuba, I know that the God that you are going to pray and is the same one that I'm praying, and is the same one who has been providing for everybody during all time in the Old Testament and in the New Testament and everywhere. The same God that David is praying is the same God that you're praying, is the same God that we're praying, and is the God that is going to provide for everything. Because he has been providing always for his people. So when we just see in our difficult times, it's not that like we are alone or we are not going into difficult periods of time. We need to know that this God, this same God that David was praying and telling all the difficult times that he has been going through, is the same God that we can pray today. So, in verse 6, I spread out my hand to you. My soul long for you like a thirsty land. Now here he's telling here, I'm going to put my hands up because I need to wait for you. Every time, the first thing that when a policeman just stop you, what they will always say is put your hands up. That's like a sign of, you know, I'm alone. I don't know how to say it, but that's the first thing that a police is going always to ask you. Remove your hands out of the things, don't touch anything. And that gives the policeman like, okay, he's going to be okay. I can do my work because he's not going to do something. And here what he's saying is, I will just wait on you. It's really good when we can read all over the Bible and we see every time that a person on the Bible, we're putting the hands up. And we're just waiting for God to work. Moses was leading God's people out of Egypt, and he stand up in front of the Red Sea. What he did was just obey God. Put your hands up. He put his hands up and wait for God to do something. Today, the same God that Moses was asking and waiting is the same God that David was waiting for, and is the same God that we can wait today. And this gives us a great confidence at the time that we say we're just going to pray to God. Which God? The one that David is describing on verse 1 and 2. And he continued verses 7 and 8, and he's now going to talk about how hairy he is for waiting to God to answer. He's going and saying, answer me speedily, O Lord. My spirit fails. When you are like really in a hurry, you get your car and you put the pedal to the metal and then you just go, because you need to get there really fast. I was in Tucson with Pastor Rob Cosby, and we were like, well, we need to go here and there, and then we need to return for the service. He forgot to put gas on the car. Then we were just in the middle of nowhere in the mountain there. What's the name of the mountain? So we were just there in the middle of everything there. No gas. Now we had a service. Everybody was waiting for us there at the service. We were at the time of just raising our hands up. God sent Pastor John Giriso, and he just started helping us to get the gas and everything to return to the service. That's the way that God provides. That's the way that God takes care of us. But we were like in a big hurry. For us, it was like call AAA, do whatever, because we need to get there really fast. And sometimes that's the way that we think. And sometimes that's the way that we want to solve all our problems. Why don't we just go and do this? Why don't we just go and do that? And David was in that same situation. The people coming out with Moses. Every time that we just go and read the Old Testament, everything that these people were going through, they were always like, I need water now. I need food now. I need this now. Something that God has been just telling to them and to us today is that God will answer everything on His time. And everything is because He is the one who is gracious and He is faithful. He's not going to let us alone. He's not going to abandon us. Probably you want to help Cuba, and probably you just have the desire inside to do it, and you want to do it tomorrow. Don't worry, there's a time for everything, and everything is going to be under God's providence. He's not going to let us just alone there. Pray to God. He's a God who is faithful and righteous. And he continued and said, do not hide your face from me. This remember me really fast. If I go to Genesis and remember the communion that Adam was having with God in the garden. He was there. He was just having communion with Adam. And Adam was the one who sinned. Here was God calling Adam. Adam was just hiding away from God. Now David is in a different position. But the problem is that David is asking, God, don't hide your face from me, because he was the one who needs the communion. And that's a problem. Sometimes we want to hide from God every time we're doing something wrong. But then when we need something from God, we want God to be just there and solving the problem just at that moment. And David is saying, do not hide your face from me. Let I be like those who go down into the pit. Cause me to hear your loving kindness in the morning. For in you do I trust. One of the things that we always need to do is sometimes we just wake up in the morning and just go to work. I know how busy is life here in the States. Sometimes you just wake up in the morning and you need to do many things really fast. Take your time and just go to God's Word. Just go to God in prayer. Just try to have a relationship with God before you go and do whatever you need to do during the day. God is the only one who can help us to do everything, to accomplish everything during our days. Cause me to know the way in which I should walk, for I lift up my soul to you. During the day, we're going to have a lot of temptation. We're going to have a lot of things that are going to take us out of God's will. There are many psalms that we can just go and read, and many portions on the Old Testament that is talking always and encouraging us to go and read the Bible and just to meditate on God's Word. But sometimes we are so lazy that we just don't want to do it. But if we can just go and relate this with the first part, the way that we can know God better and His attributes is when we can just go to His Word. God is revealed to us through the Word. So if we just want to know God, the only way for us to know Him is through the special revelation. It's through the Word, is through His command, through everything that He has been just saying there. Verses 9 and 10, he continued. Now he says how God and us, we need to be like in communion. And he goes and start verses 9 and 10. Deliver me, O Lord, from my enemies. In you I take shelter. When we think about a battle or something like that, we always go and think on taking something and opening something on the ground and just to get protection. In Cuba, everywhere, they have been doing that because tomorrow the U.S. is coming to attack us. And something that people have been just laughing on the last after July the 11th is that we have been asking to the states to come and help us in Cuba, bring all the soldiers and bring the military. And for 62 plus years, always in Cuba, everything was around, tomorrow the U.S. is coming to destroy Cuba. Tomorrow the U.S. is coming. You need to be ready because the U.S. wants to come to destroy Cuba. July the 11th, the middle of all the protests, everything was, please the U.S. come and help us. Please the U.S. come. The U.S. never came. So all Cuba is full of holes because they have been just making everything, shelters for people to get into that just because tomorrow the U.S. is coming. We were asking the U.S. to come and do everything of that, and the U.S. never came. So everybody was like, we are ready. The government was always doing all of those shelters for us to get into there to be protected. And they were like, tomorrow the U.S. can come because we have thousands or thousands of those big holes. So we are going to be protected from our big enemy, the U.S. And sometimes we are just like that. We think that if we just do this, if we have this, and if we have this, we're going to be protected. But our best protection is in God. In Him is where we have a shelter, and we have Him to be with us and protect us from everything. Teach me to do your will. Yes. Teach me to do your will, for you are my God. Your spirit is good. Lead me in the land of righteousness. We just need to ask God to lead us through the Holy Spirit in everything that we're facing today, or in everything that we're just going to do every day. At the time that we walk on this land, we need God to protect us, and we need God to help us through the Holy Spirit to guide us in everything that He wants us to be doing. We need to receive all the teachings, and the only way that we can receive everything of that is through the Bible. Verses 11 and 12, he's just going to talk now about God justice. Revive me, O Lord, for your name's sake. Now he's saying, revive me, O Lord, but because not of me. And then he's going to end the psalm on the same way that he started. Everything is not because of me, but is because who God is. Revive me, O Lord, for your name's sake, for your righteousness' sake, bring my soul out of trouble. Everything that we need today, everything that we need for our lives, salvation and everything, is on God's hands. It's just because of him and not because of us. And sometimes we just think that everything that we need today is because of us. David is not telling us that. David is just saying everything that we need today is because of God. He's the one who was leading in through the desert. He was just bringing all the people out of Egypt. During the day, it was clouds. During the night, it was through a fire. How you say it? A fire column? Okay. It was during the night like that. That shows to us that God has been always leading his people on the way that he decides and the way that he wants us to walk. And he says, therefore, your righteousness' sake, bring my soul out of trouble. Everything that we do in our life is for God's glory. And everything is about God. We're not having anything that we can proud of and we can say, oh, I just did this because of me. Everything is just because of God. Verse 12, in your mercy cut off my enemies. God is going to do that because of his mercy and not because of me. It's not because I just go and ask. It's not just because of how good I am, but it's just because of God. And now here is the last part of the verse 12. And this part on the psalm refers to the way of psalm that people many times they don't want it, is the imprecatory psalm. Some people don't want to pray like that. Destroy them. Just go and do this. Just go and do that. Some people don't like to pray like that. And some people just go, no, no, you cannot say that. How are you going to say that God judge them and destroy them, and if they are doing something bad, just go and kill everybody? That's a way that many of the Psalms have been written. And they are just there because and has one purpose. And it's really good to pray in imprecatory Psalms. And why? Because the only one who can conquer everything of that is Christ. And he did it when he died at the cross and rose again. And every time that we pray those psalms and we just go and ask God in that way, what we are saying is, Christ, we are really thanks for everything that you have been doing for us, because you are the only one who can destroy the enemies and you are the only one who can conquer everything. And we can only say that if we believe that God has been, or Christ has been, conquering everything for his glory and for God's decree and plan. So the best way that David can end this psalm, teaching us everything of this, is in that way. Everything that we can do today is because we need to know who God is. And the only way of knowing that is through the special revelation that is the Bible. And if we can just come and pray to God, it's because Christ has been just dying on the cross and bringing us back to God. And all of that makes salvation complete and makes all the purpose that had been announced in the Old Testament has been just conquered. And it's really good to see how David has been spoken here about what Christ was going to do at the cross. He has been going to defeat all the enemies, and he has been just going to kill everything and just to give the victory at the cross for everything. He raised again, and we can be here today praying to God and bringing all our needs to God is because Christ died at the cross, rose again, and he is just sitting there to be the mediator to God for us. That's the best way that David can end this psalm. And I hope that you can just be encouraged at the time that you just go to God praying and asking him for everything. Always remembering that everything that we're going to ask God is not because Daniel is in Cuba suffering. It's not because Daniel is in Cuba suffering. Everything is God. We come to you because you are faithful and you are righteous. And you have been promises, and you have promised to be with your people ever. And that's why we can come just to God in prayer, and we can just come to God telling everything we need every day. And it's because who God is and everything he has been just saying on his Bible, on his word in the Bible. That's why we can just come to God. Let us pray. Father, we come in front of you knowing that we are sinners and we don't deserve anything that you have been doing for us. Thanks for everything you have been conquering for us through Christ as the mediator of the new covenant. And thank you for everything that you have been just applying to us by the Holy Spirit and leading us to praise you and to come to you because of who you are and not because who we are. Thanks for the lesson that David has been teaching us through this psalm. Thank you for putting in us the Holy Spirit to come to you in prayer and ask everything of this in Jesus' name.